This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. We're still studying the chapter that deals with Adhan. And the hadith we have before us is hadith number 151. I believe that Brother Mustafa will read it for us.
Narrated by Ibn Umar and Aisha radiallahu anhum, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bilal calls for prayer when it is still night, so eat and drink till Ibn Maktoum calls for prayer. And he, Ibn Maktoum, was a blind man who did not call for prayer until he was told, it is morning time, it is morning time.
Noor, what prayer is this?
Of course, dawn prayer, subuh.
Dawn prayer or fajr prayer or subuh prayer. Now, from this hadith, we learn that, as you remember, there are two types of fajr. The actual fajr and the false fajr. So the false fajr, it's okay for a person who wants to fast to eat and drink. And he may not pray fajr prayer yet because it is false. And we said that, if you recall, that it's the light that is vertical from the earth to the sky, and it comes like a while before the actual break of dawn, which is horizontal. In this hadith, it tells us that it is sunnah to have two adhan for fajr. It is sunnah to have two adhans for fajr. One is a reminder to those who are praying night prayer that, listen, Fajr is close, so if you want to pray witr, go ahead and finish, because it's going to call in a while. And to those who want to fast, it wakes them up so that they would have their sahur, their late night meal, before they fast and stop and refrain from eating and drinking. And scholars have their different opinions, whether this should be only for Ramadan, as the case in the Muslim world, or it's a general thing that people should do. They should have every single day of the year two calls for prayer, for Fajr prayer. So it's an issue of dispute. The two holy mosques of Mecca and Medina do it throughout the year, the whole year. They have always two adhan. And apparently that this is the most authentic thing, that it should be applied in our lives also, in all mosques. But unfortunately that this is not the case, simply because people are drifting away from Islam. And they have working hours, and they have to sleep at night. And it's very rare that you find people praying tahajjud or praying night prayer, except in Ramadan. If you make a survey, you'd find that 95% or 96% of Muslims don't know how to pray night prayers, or don't even pray night prayers. They go to bed and sleep. And only a small portion of Muslims, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and pray to Allah the Almighty to forgive their sins. Now, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two muadhin. Who are they, Fadi?
In this hadith? Oh, Bilal.
Okay.
And Ibn Umm Maktum?
Ibn Umm Maktum. And Ibn Umm Maktum was?
Blind.
Was blind. So he could not recognize if it is the break of dawn or not, unless someone tells him. So this teaches us that it is okay to have a muadhin, a person that calls for the adhan, who is blind, providing that he has someone telling him that it is day or it's night. Because if he doesn't have anyone to tell him, he would probably go at 10 o'clock in the morning and call for adhan, thinking that it's noon prayer. And this is not acceptable. But if we have someone to tell him, to indicate to him that it is time for adhan, then this is permissible and this is acceptable. And again, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum was a companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed a surah to our Prophet when the Prophet alayhi salatu salam was not cooperative with Abdullah ibn Maktum, the blind man who came to seek knowledge, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was engaged in teaching and calling those heads of tribes of the non-Muslim tribes. Abdullah ibn Maktum also was used to assume positions in the case of the absence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Medina on journeys, he would appoint him as a governor of Medina, which meant that he had the powers to rule, to judge, and to solve disputes among people. And this, again, comes and teaches us, and we learn from it, that it is permissible for a blind person to assume a position in the state. Because Abdullah ibn Maktum used to be a judge and used to be a governor. So it tells us that Islam cares for those who have special needs, those who are handicapped, and this does not prevent them from contributing to the building of the society and in contributing and trying to do good for the people. Your handicap is not a barrier or something, an obstacle to prevent you from serving Islam, from giving aid to others and helping them in so many different ways and manners. I think that this is all the issues we have regarding the hadith of Abu Qatad, of Umar and Aisha, Abdullah ibn Umar and Aisha, may Allah be pleased with them. We move on to the following hadith, hadith number 152.
Narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, Bilal radiallahu anhu called for prayer before dawn, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to return and announce, "Lo, the slave of Allah," meaning Bilal, "had slept, hence this mistake."
Lo, or beware, the slave of Allah, Bilal, had slept. Now, this hadith is not authentic. And you cannot correct things. There are no correction measures to be taken. If you have made a mistake and called for the adhan before its time, it's not recommended that you go again, hold the mic and say, "Hey guys, I made a mistake." Just, you know, rub it off and don't consider it, and we will do it again within 2 minutes. I'm sorry if you have eaten, or if you've done this, or if you prayed, you review it. No, this is not the case. The hadith, we cannot build any allegation according to it, because it's not an authentic hadith. We move on to the following hadith, hadith number 153, and I believe Noor will read it.
Narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When you hear the adhan, repeat what the muadhin, meaning the call maker, says." And al-Bukhari has reported similarly in a narration by Muawiyah, may Allah be pleased with him. And Muslim reported narration by Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, regarding the virtue of repeating what the muadhin pronounces word by word, except when the muadhin says, "Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah," meaning "come to the prayer and come to the success." One should say, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah," meaning there is no might and no power except with the help of Allah.
Okay. This hadith tells us what to say when we hear the muadzin. And this is very important because the sunnah is that we say exactly what the muadzin says. And this is a sunnah that has been abandoned by lots of the Muslims. They hear the adhan, they don't pay any attention to it. They don't repeat after the caller for salat, after the muadzin. And the sunnah is, whenever you hear the adhan, stop what you're doing. Listen to the muadzin. When he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you say exactly the same. Except, as in this hadith narrated by Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that when the muadzin says, Hayya ala salat, you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So you say it four times. Hayya ala salat, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hayya ala al-falah, la hawla wa la quwwata. And this is the wisdom behind this, that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means that there is no might and there is no power except with the help of Allah. What is the meaning of hayya ala salat? Come to prayer.
Yes, come to the prayer.
Okay, what is the meaning of hayya ala al-falah?
Come to success.
Come to success and prosperity. And you cannot come without the help and power of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why it is relevant that you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And this is something that lots of the Muslims are unaware of. Now, if I have a presentation in my company, and I'm giving this presentation to the CEO, to the general managers, to the vice presidents, to customers that I have, I would come and talk throughout the presentation by saying, I did this, I succeeded in making this, I secured a transaction with the company, and I did this, and I did that. And all of this is unacceptable in Islam. Why? Because you are attributing your success to yourself. You're claiming to be the origin of success, which is wrong. You have to attribute everything that you know and gain, everything that you succeed in doing, to Allah the Almighty. Otherwise, you would be associating someone else. You would be associating your powers and efforts with Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is unacceptable. We cannot do anything without the guidance of Allah, without the power and might of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we fail, this is because of our own wrongdoing. And if we succeed, it is because of the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's very wrong to say that I did this and I did that. You should always say, by the grace of Allah, I managed to do this. By the grace of Allah, I managed to do that. We have a short break, so please stay tuned. And inshallah, we will be right back.
Back to the Prophet. Join Sheikh Amar in the program Back to the Prophet, wherein he teaches us practical lessons from the Prophet's life and how this can help us to overcome our challenges in the present.
We talk about the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, seeking guidance for ourselves. In the early days after the revelation of the Holy Quran, the Muslims were greatly persecuted, so much so that quite a few Muslims had to leave Arabia and migrate to Africa to live among Ahl Kitab, Christian people who followed the gospel of Christ.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Before we move on to the following hadith, I believe that Brother Mustafa has a question.
What if someone lives in a very high building so that he cannot hear the adhan from the masjid and he can only hear it on a recorder from the radio or something?
Okay.
Should he repeat after the radio or?
Well, this brings up another question. And I think it's relevant that we may ask this question, but remind me of the second question after I answer yours. Yes, whenever you hear the adhan, you may repeat after him. But some scholars said that if you hear the adhan from the radio, then it's not an actual adhan. So you may not repeat behind him. Personally, I think you may, because it is dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. So whether you hear it from a radio, from a tape recorder, from directly from the mosque, it's okay, inshallah, to call for the adhan. You have any comments?
Yes, like, do the scholars that do not agree that you should like follow the muadhin from the radio, do they also know that sometimes the muadhin could actually be saying it live, and would it make a difference?
No, that wouldn't make a difference, because you're not listening to him on this, at the same time. You're not in the same area or in the vicinity of the place he's doing. But as I said, I personally think it's okay to repeat after the adhan, whether it's from a tape recorder, from the radio, or you're hearing it directly. The question that came up into my mind that I'd like to share it with me is that the adhan, if you hear it, you must pray in the masjid. Is that correct? If you hear the adhan, then this, it means it's obligatory that you pray in the masjid. Because of the hadith of the blind man who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he complained, saying, O Prophet of Allah, my house is far away from the mosque. And Medina is very dark, and you know, it's creepy at night, and I don't have anyone to lead me to prayer, and I'm a blind man, and there are, you know, there might be dogs or stray dogs or scorpions and things that may harm me. So is there an excuse for me to pray home? The Prophet said, alayhi salam, do you hear the adhan? The man said, yes. So the Prophet said, you have to answer the call of, I don't find any permission for you not to attend. So it's obligatory. Now, in this high building of Brother Mustafa, because he lives on the fourth or sixth floor, and he does not hear the adhan, though the mosque is next door. So is it obligatory that he prays in the mosque, or because he does not hear the adhan, then it's okay for him not to attend? Answer, Fadi.
I think he has to pray in the mosque.
Okay, he doesn't hear the adhan.
Even if he doesn't hear that, then he has to pray in the mosque.
How would we say that? Where did you get this?
Because the prayer of Jama'ah takes the status in fiqh, that's wajib.
Yes, but the Prophet said, as Islam, do you hear the adhan? Then he made the obligatory or not obligatory depending on hearing the adhan. So, what do you think, Muhammad?
Yes, he must attend the prayer in the mosque, because he knows that this is a time for praying. He hears the adhan on radio or on television.
It doesn't have any radio or television.
So if... No.
No. Mustafa?
I think he should attend, because he knew that this is the time of prayer, even if he does not hear the adhan.
Then the Prophet should have told the blind man, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that as long as you know it's time for prayer, you should come, whether you hear it or without.
He's a blind man.
He has people to tell him. What do you think, Abu Malik?
Well, I had the same idea, same thought as Brother Mustafa.
Which is?
Which is, you know, he should know the time. You know, he should time, you know, like have his watch or something, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, at 4 o'clock or 4:30 is Asr. You know, 4:30 I'd be at the mosque.
Okay, finally, Fadi.
Like we said earlier, he should look at the sun and measure it by the shadow.
No, he shouldn't. He shouldn't. Noor, do you have anything, or should I go on?
I think I have some opinion.
Okay.
We have to come to the mosque and to do pray together.
But is it a must if he did not hear the adhan or not? See, the problem is the hearing the adhan itself the most important thing, or was it meant to be the distance that the voice of a normal person on top of a mosque, whenever you don't have these concrete shacks and buildings that we live in, it's not the actual hearing, it's the distance that counts. Because if it were to be the actual hearing, if I live exactly next door to the mosque and I live in an isolated and insulated room, a well-insulated room, then this means that I will not be able to hear the adhan, although it's a couple of meters away from me. So scholars say, now, hearing the adhan is a must. But providing you are in the same circumstances where the Prophet ﷺ had. So this means that turn off the amplifiers and the loudspeakers, but move away from the concrete buildings you're living in. And move away from anything that is consists a barrier to the sound. And then try to measure how far would the normal sound travel to. So people say, scholars say, that it probably travels to 2 to 3 miles away from the mosque. If in open environment, in normal houses made of clay, and a one-story buildings, then it would take them approximately 2 to 3 miles. It would travel maybe more. So scholars say if you live in the vicinity of a mosque of this distance, then you have to pray. Now, if you deliberately close the windows, turn on the air conditioning, turn on the TV and put some put on your Walkmans and listen to a CD or whatever, and then you say, oh, alhamdulillah, I didn't hear the adhan, this is not an excuse for you before Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you'll be questioned accordingly. So I hope this answers your question, Mustafa.
I have another question.
Then you have another. Let's go.
Okay. So does this mean that if I live at a distance that's like 5 miles away from the mosque, that I do have an excuse to not pray the obligatory prayer?
Yes, sir. You do. Indeed. If you live away from the mosque in a normal distance that you cannot hear the adhan, you have this excuse. Because if the man answered the Prophet, the blind man, and he said, no, I don't hear the adhan, what would you expect the Prophet to tell him, alayhi salam? Then you have an excuse. See, the problem is, does the adhan reaches you or not? Now, the loudspeakers don't count. Okay. Because you could blow the sound like 20 miles away or 10 miles away. And it would be a burden to people to ask them to, you know, if you hear the adhan, and then people say, well, I hear it from the radio, so this is an extra 50 or 100 miles, and so on. It goes on and on and on. No, this is not wanted for itself. It should, the normal voice, how long it will travel, how far would it travel in normal circumstances, without any high-rise buildings, without any concrete, and so on. Fadi.
I have a question. If someone keeps turning on the TV because he likes to listen to the azan from one channel to the other, and we know that the azan is 24 hours per day all over the world on the timing, and he has like thousands and thousands of channels on his satellite dish, can he keep watching one adhan after the other, after the other, after the other, saying like before and after each prayer, 50 minutes of just listening to adhan?
Personally, I doubt that a person with 1,000 satellite channels would spend this time moving from one channel to the other just looking for adhan. This guy is obsessed with adhan, and he's stalking. He should be away from muadhin because he would stalk them and probably harass them. Now, but hypothetically speaking, if we assume that someone does this, well, he would skip his own prayer. He would skip his own repeating after his own muadhin who lives next door doing this. You see, you don't have to go to extremes, saying that moving on from one TV channel to the other and repeating after every and each muadhin. And this does not go 24 hours because no channels, according to my knowledge, bring the adhan except like 4 or 5, maybe 10 of them.
He thinks, like the person who does this, thinks it's like a form of getting closer to Allah. So, like...
Dhikr.
like dhikr, or like, yeah, like a...
Well, when it's to this extent, mm-hmm. I'd prefer that they do not do this.
So would it be a bid'ah if you're doing this?
I've mentioned earlier that some scholars say only repeat after a live adhan. But something that is transmitted through the radio or something that is recorded, you may not do this as it's a form of worship and this person is not present. And I said that, well, any thinking that this doesn't happen every now and then. It happens once in a while that you hear the adhan while tuning on to the radio, and there's nothing wrong, inshallah, in repeating after it. But if you come to be obsessed in this manner, in calling adhan every single couple of minutes from one place to the other, no, this would not be recommended. Any question? Any further questions? Okay, we have the hadith number 154, narrated by Uthman ibn Abi al-As. It's a long hadith, but it's an important one. I don't know if we have time enough for it, but we'll just read it as a reminder. Go ahead, please.
Narrated by Uthman ibn Abi al-As, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, O Messenger of Allah, appoint me as the Imam, meaning leader, of my people in prayers. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, you are the Imam, but you should follow, meaning observe the strength of the weakest among them, and appoint a Mu'adhin who does not charge for the call of Adhan.
Now, the hadith itself, we need a lot of time to look into the issues of it, but Uthman ibn Abi al-As is one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very young. He came from Taif district, from another place, came with his friends only to learn religion. And this teaches us that it is sunnah to travel to acquire knowledge. And this sunnah, a lot of people abandoned. They either traveled to acquire money or to learn for this life, not for the hereafter, or just to brag about them being students of knowledge and I did this and I did that. And this is not recommendable. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they traveled only for the sake of Allah and to acquire knowledge. This hadith, as I've mentioned earlier, is a great hadith. Inshallah, we will try to look into the issues related to it next time. But until now, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.